Rave Radio. Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast. Green AV.
Good morning, Rave listeners, and welcome to The Week on Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins. The Week is brought to you by Mitsubishi, makers of, well, lots of things for the audiovisual industry. Projectors, monitors. You can find out more about that at Mitsubishi.com. This morning I wanted to talk a little bit about an AV company that faces some unique challenges. With me today is my friend Ike Eckstein, who is president of Visual Word Systems in New York City. Good morning, Ike.
Good morning, Joe. And all listeners.
Good morning. Ike faces some of the most interesting challenges I've ever seen in my life. When I was at Extron, one of my really revelatory experiences was going to visit Ike in Manhattan and discovering that you really have to work differently in New York City than you do in virtually any place else I've ever been. And especially dealing in the rental industry, it can have an enormous set of challenges. On top of that, Ike's had Sandy to deal with. So Ike, tell us what things are like right now.
Things like right now is 38 degrees and mild and sunny. Now, all kidding aside, things are coming back. As I mentioned, there are still some companies in lower Manhattan, corporations in the financial industry whose buildings are still not open because of Hurricane Sandy. The audiovisual industry primarily shut down for that entire week when the storm came in on Monday night. I don't know anybody who was open on Tuesday because you had to evacuate many regions. And when I came in Wednesday morning, my normal 6 o'clock in the morning, my block was pitch black, and I'm located on 36th Street between 5th and 6th, and then two blocks away is Park Avenue, and I drove past there, and literally no traffic lights. It was like a wild, wild west. People were driving very carefully, very cautiously, and on 40th Street and 41st and 39th on 3rd Avenue and Lex, there was no power. So obviously, fortunately, the way our phone systems work, which was to our advantage, since we were down, phones could automatically transfer to my mobile phone. So I was able to get some of the phones, not all the phones. So calls were forwarded. Business was canceled that week. We did have an event on Saturday evening, a fundraiser, and we were fortunate enough to work with another partner in New York where we sub-rented all the equipment from them. And, of course, Murphy's Law kicked into play on Saturday. And on Saturday morning, I made it my business to come in to see if we had power. And sure enough, power came back on. But I didn't want to be disrespectful to my friend who helped me out. And I did not cancel his order. And I used his equipment. I didn't use ours. And the show went on Saturday night. You talk about logistics of New York. I love when manufacturers send us a pallet of equipment, either for rentals or for sales. And the trucker calls up and he says, "Where's the loading dock?" There is no loading dock. There might only be one or maybe two companies in New York who have literally a loading dock. A lot of companies in New York are on the upper floors, 6th, 8th, 9th, 10th floor, or on the 8th floor. So we get a pallet, no pallets are allowed in the building. So the trucker must have taken it off the pallet, and we take it in by hand trucks or dollies upstairs. So that's one of the logistics of New York. A lot of elevators in New York are both a passenger/freight elevators. So at the same time, you are sharing elevators. Some buildings in New York, I would say a good 20%, is closed for freight between 12 and 1. So from a logistics point of view, if you have to be in by 12, you have to be there by 12 o'clock, you better load up your truck or van and be there 11:30 in the morning to be online to wait. Very, very important.
Some of the things about doing business in New York, and you know, I'll cop to a couple of stories here. Ike comes up with some of the most interesting rentals I've ever seen in my life. And since I've been writing about the rental industry for about 20 years now, I spent some serious time talking to Ike. When I first moved back to Connecticut, and I live in Stamford, which is essentially a bedroom community for the New York financial firms, and Ike called me in because we were doing a multi-image show. I was over an hour late for my first appointment in New York with Ike because I just completely underestimated what it takes to navigate New York City. I'd been away for a long time. I looked on Yahoo, and it said, okay, 1 hour to Ike's office. So that's pretty much what I counted on. You deal with a level of things that nobody else does. I mean, that a presidential motorcade can cripple your city for a day.
Or during the UN week, 2 weeks, where they literally close up the streets and they have no idea. And for the past 2 years, we have charged a 30% premium, but it is not unusual to literally push equipment two or three blocks, and the clients understand. The other thing in New York is that in order to expedite and move traffic along many blocks, you cannot make a left or right turn for maybe seven avenues, so it takes you longer. Parking in New York is a difficult situation. In addition, dealing with construction sites, Con Edison manhole covers being repaired, and of course, right now we're in the holiday season of Christmas shopping, so you have gridlock alert days. Wednesday is Broadway show day, so you make sure you know we're near the theater district around 4 o'clock when people let out. And this coming Wednesday is a beautiful lighting of the Christmas tree, which means approximately 5 blocks will be closed off around 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Midtown Manhattan. So once again, we need to know what's going on. It's also not unusual when we know of certain things coming up, like, as I mentioned, Wednesday with lighting of the Christmas tree, we will drop off equipment tomorrow, a day early. Of course, no charge to the client, but the client appreciates us looking out for their best interest. But to try to pull it off, it's another situation. Another area of interest is a word called insurance. I cannot assume, but I'm assuming in other cities, when you go to clients' office buildings, that they are a tenant, not an owner. We are requested certificates of insurance, and it's not unusual for the guard to stop the truck and say, where's your certificate of insurance, to show authority, and sure enough, we have to have it on display, and we have it. That's just a small, minor issue that sometimes clients don't even realize what we're talking about until we explain it to them, and life becomes a lot easier. In addition, when the event is over at 5 o'clock at night and we need to load out, we run into another issue. The freight closes at 4:45, so we need to ask in advance, are we taking it out the same night? Are you making arrangements to pay the overtime for the freight elevator to be left open, or will we be allowed to use our road case on your granite or marble floor in the lobby, or do we come back the next day and pull it out? And in some cases, we come back the next day, and in some cases, we charge additional trip, things of that nature.
I'm just stunned every time I visit you over the way you have developed over time to use space more efficiently than anybody I've ever seen. And I'll share a story here. When I was at Riverview, I had a show at the Javits Center. We were obviously at Javits fairly regularly. And we had a problem with one of our trucks not being able to get over bridge into New York. And we had to be off the docks at the Javits Center. We had all kinds of people after us. And this truck had come from California, but it had a flat tire and had been delayed and then got hung up in the bridge. Ike actually sent his guys in vans to pick up all of my stuff and crammed it into places like his conference room and his hallways to get me off the dock there. And I've always wanted to thank Ike publicly for it. And thanks, Ike. I understand that you just had an incident like that again.
Yes. A company, York, who's in the installation business called Presentation Products, their building was flooded by the hurricane and they had no power for 4 days. And the Monday following the storm, I called up the owner of the company, Oren Knapp, and he explained to me his problem. I said, Oren, why don't you come over to my shop? We'll take the conference room, we'll bring another table in. And sure enough, the next day, I had 13 employees here. We used up all of our chairs. He brought in a router, a network hub, and he was able to operate from our offices. And they did a beautiful job in cleaning up. They're very, very nice tenants. They stayed 3 days, and they were able to survive. But at the same case, they had 2.5 truckloads of goods coming in from UPS, and they literally had no place to put it because they could not get into their building. For safety reasons, a lot of buildings were physically shut because they don't want tenants walking up the staircases with flashlights in case he or she gets injured. So that's just another way of being humanitarian and helping people out. You know, our business is relationships, and it's not always the bottom line dollar. If we can help somebody out, I feel a lot more comfortable sometimes than making profit. Don't get me wrong, profit's important, but helping people to me is more important in hard times.
That's why I always think of you as the godfather of audiovisual in New York, Ike.
You mean save your ass audiovisual?
That too. And that's a very famous phrase of Mr. Eckstein's that all those of us who've done business with him for a while know.
If you call after 6 o'clock at night, we answer the phone, thank you for calling Save Your Ass Audiovisual, how can I save your ass? People hang up the phone and they call back and they say, what'd you say? I said, if you call me 10 after 7 on a Tuesday night, I must be saving your ass. They'll stop laughing. We'll continue to have a conversation. We've never received a check made out to Save Your Ass AV, but we have received PO to say Save Your Ass AV.
Wow, that's phenomenal. Listen, I know that you've got the holidays to deal with now and all of those logistical challenges in New York. Are you still feeling the effects of Sandy there?
No, I would have to say no at this point. But what is affecting us now, obviously, is the economy with Congress deciding what they're going to do with this whole tax situation. So people are very skeptical because they're not sure what's going to happen. And that has an effect on the economy. I've been pretty fortunate in forecasting businesses from year to year. And I think the first half of 2013 is going to be a struggle. Because of what we're talking about.
Last week I talked to a mutual friend, Dave Stout, who, as you know, lives in New Orleans and went through Katrina operating an AV company down there. And one of the effects that they saw was cancellation of incoming business because people were afraid that there were still effects. Are you seeing any of that?
Some companies have canceled parties, which in the AV industry is primarily not a busy time of year. I mean, you know, the only thing they do at a party might be a DJ, and then the CEO would stand up and give a 2-minute speech using the microphone from the DJ. But other than that, they have not been using AV much. But some companies have canceled parties and making contributions for hurricane victims because of that. And again, like I said, it doesn't affect me, but it does affect the hospitality industry.
Now, you had a whole lot of transport issues right after the storm. You had flooded tunnels and tracks.
Yeah, it was interesting you bring that up and some interesting stories. The Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, which goes from downtown Manhattan into Brooklyn, had 90 million gallons of water. The Queens Midtown Tunnel also was flooded and closed. But, you know, New Yorkers make do. Right now, the PATH train, which goes from Hoboken to Manhattan, is still not working, things of that nature. So people can take buses, and they even now have ferry service from New Jersey to Manhattan. One stop is on Wall Street, and one stop is in Midtown.
That, you know, it's just to think about the number of different situations that you have to deal with in the Big Apple is fairly mind-boggling. You know, I've been amazed when I've dealt with you over how well your guys have to know the city because they have to know where they can hide a truck for 15 minutes and that kind of thing.
And hopefully not get ticketed.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, you were mentioning about Sandy was gas. Gas was a major problem in the boroughs, in Manhattan. People stood on gas lines, including our guys, for 2 hours to get gas. Some places had a limit of $15 a fill up, things of that nature. We were fortunate that we did not see gas gouging, but some people did. In addition, we know some companies in our industry who lost their vans and lost their trucks because of the water going inside their vehicles and damaged their engines. To give you another idea, 40,000 cars were destroyed by the hurricane. And this past weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, there was a shortage of rental cars for the holidays this year for the first time. And they were bringing cars in from other parts of the country from the major rental houses.
Yeah, I had heard about that even out here in the sticks where I live. You know, it was amazing that we had people coming in. I was picking up people at alternate airports because they couldn't go into New York. I think it was the only time Bradley Airport in Hartford's ever been used. So,
does that mean you saw that in newspapers that day?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Ike, listen, for when any of us are doing business in New York and we need that kind of help, how do we get Save Your Ass AV?
212-629-8383. There is no voicemail at Visual Word. If the phone is not answered after six rings, it automatically goes to my mobile phone. And our website is www.visualword.com. And my email address is ike@visualword.com.
Folks, write this one down. Seriously, when you're in the Big Apple, there's nobody more helpful. Anyway, Ike, I want to thank you for being with us this morning.
I'd like to wish all our listeners a very healthy and happy New Year and a holiday season. And most important, take care of you and your family. Joe, thank you very much for this opportunity. You're a good friend.
Thanks, Ike. And it's always great talking to you. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.